I can say good morning to everyone who's on the call. We are very thankful, especially if you are not a member of the Church of Christ. You are very honored guests, and we appreciate you being on our call. For those who are visiting from other congregations, we welcome you as well. We believe in the Bible, that the Bible is right in the Church of Christ. The Bible is right, and every word of the Bible is right. If you want to be saved, they must believe in this book called the Bible. Upon believing in this book, you will believe that God loved you and sent his Son, and his Son then was executed by crucifixion on the cross, suffered, shed his blood, and washed his sins away in baptism, and that same blood purchased his church, his bride, the Church of Christ. Only one you ever read about it in the Bible. We pray if you believe that, then you will obey it. You'll render your body to be buried with him in baptism, and then become a member of the Lord's church, and then serve faithfully unto death. This morning, chapter 26, continuing our study of the book of Acts. I entitled this lesson, I Shall Speak, I Shall Answer for Myself. In chapter 21, Paul, as we recap here, Paul knew that trouble awaited him in Jerusalem. He was arrested in chapter 22 and stood in his defense before an angry crowd in Jerusalem. In chapter 23, he stood before Ananias in the Sanhedrin court in his defense. In chapter 23, we also found that God delivered him using the Lysias, the chief captain who commanded an army of 470 soldiers to escort Paul to Rome. In chapter 24, we studied how he stood before Felix, the governor of Rome. In chapter 25, he stood before Festus, who replaced Felix. Now, Paul has been a prisoner for about 2 years now. And now in chapter 26, he will go before King Agrippa. Again, the title is, I Shall Answer for Myself. In verse 1, the Bible says, and then Agrippa said unto Paul, thou art permitted to speak for thyself. Then Paul stretched forth his hand and answered for himself. Here's the thrust of this morning's lesson. We will all have to speak for ourselves. We have to answer to God for ourselves. But what if God permitted you to speak or answer for yourself to him on this day? What would you say? I want you to listen to Paul, and then at the end of the lesson, I give you an opportunity to answer for yourself in your own conscience and your own mind. I'll point out some things that are important to know before you speak or answer for yourself before God. Verse 2, he says, the Bible says, I think myself happy, King Agrippa, because I shall answer for myself. That's where my title comes from right there. I shall answer for myself this day. Before thee, touching all things whereof I am accused of the Jews. Before you can answer for yourself, you got to remember that only you can honestly answer for yourself. You can happily answer only if the accusation is false. I will pose some accusations that you can honestly answer this morning. But the question is, will you be happy? In verse 3, he says, especially because I know thee, to be expert in all customs and questions, which are among the Jews, wherefore I beseech thee to hear me patiently. Remember now, when you stand before God, we all stand before God. We are standing before an expert on our life. He knows us. He knows what we've done. He knows what's true, and he knows what's false. But we will have to give a response to him. And so when we speak or answer for ourselves, keep in mind, I'm talking about standing before God and answering for yourself. Your life, what you've been, how you've obeyed God, what you've done from the time you were born to the time you died. In verse 4, he said, my manner of life from my youth, was at the first among my own nation at Jerusalem, know all the Jews. One thing about this is to understand that our answer will be from our youth and our young people on the call. We need to understand that too. From the youth, you will have to give an account to God. We all will have to give an account from the young to the old. All of us will answer for ourselves before God one day. Starting from the time we knew right and wrong, as I said, which include our youth. And we have to stand before God and give an account. Also, keep in mind that in this life, We all got a pass. Paul said these people, the Jews who were falsely accusing him, knew his past. They knew about him. And they did. Paul writes in 1 Timothy 1:13, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious. He knew that the Jews knew that he had a past life, that he had to change in order to become a preacher of the gospel of Christ. Now remember, people are different from God. The Jews know his past. People remember, have memory. I got a call just this week from someone after listening to Thursday night's class lesson on Nationwide by Forgiveness. Was confused because the person was saying, why have I forgiven this person? Because every time I see this person, I remember what they did. And I explained to that person, I explained to all of us, that everyone has memory. And when you do something to hurt people, they're going to remember what you did. And then they can take that same information about your past and accuse you that you're doing the same thing in the future. Forgiveness is not forgetting. Forgiveness is freeing the person of their past fault or their past mistake upon their request for forgiveness and upon their repentance. But we have to understand this as well. That only you and God know the truth. And people will be people just like these Jews. His own people. People who he worshiped with. People who loved him. Turned on him. And they knew his past. And now they're out to kill him. You'll have people in your life. We'll have people in our lives that will be killing us mentally or whatever because of something we've done in the past that they still hold to. Now, here's what we need to understand, that God will forgive us when people won't forgive us. That's why we're Christians. That's what's important for us to know. When we stand before God, he says, your sins I will remember no more. None of us should expect that to be the case with the common human beings. They will always remember, and some will never forgive you. But if we're Christians, we have to forgive. Forgiveness means freeing the person of the fault or the mistake they made. Now, in verse 5, he says, which knew me from the beginning? So they knew him. If they would testify that after the most straightest sect of our religion, I live a Pharisee. So he knew, again, Paul knew these Jews had watched his life. And he was very faithful in Judaism. He lived as a Pharisee. In other words, the Jews knew Paul was faithful in that religion, and now he's turned to Christianity. And they are bothered by that. Fact that he's living, that he's turned to Christianity. And that's why, that's some of the reason they're out to kill him. Important, if you speak out loud this morning, someone in your life could testify if your facts about your life as a Christian are true or false. Someone is watching your life. People know your life. As Christians, you got to remember, people could testify about you. Some can say some things they know. Some will say things they don't know. Some will speculate on things about you. But back to God. Most important thing is you got to answer to God. So if you have something going on in your life that people could see and they could testify about your life as a Christian, would they tell the truth or false? Would it be false? Well, Paul, no, they know him. And so if you start looking at relationships, people know in church, members know, can testify if a member appears to be faithful to the Lord. Appearance is just outward, though. You can look faithful to the Lord and not be faithful. So you would give an account of what the truth is. And the only person who knows the truth about your faithfulness to the Lord will be God himself. So you got to answer for yourself about your faithfulness to God. And you can answer that when your conscience is clear. That's the answer. God give us a conscience If your conscience is not clear about what you've done, then you have not repented, or you're not telling the truth, or your conscience is convicting you because you need to get it right with God. Sometimes people say, I have repented, and they didn't repent. So the truth is known by God. And this lesson, thrust of this lesson is, remember now, you shall answer for yourself. No one will be there with you. Everyone will speak for themselves before God. We will answer to God only at the end of the day. We're going to answer to God. And so will Paul. And now he says in verse 6, and now I stand and I'm judged. So he's judged by these same people for the hope of the promise made of God unto our fathers, unto which promise our 12 tribes, instantly serving God day and night, hope to come. For which hope's sake, King Agrippa, I am accused of the Jews. Why should it be thought a thing incredible with you that God should raise the dead? So Paul knows the issue is they disagree with the resurrection, as we've taught in another lesson. Paul is saying, King Agrippa, I believe everything that was written when he said the promise of the 12 tribes or the God of our fathers. He's talking about the Old Testament. He's saying, I believe everything that you know about the Old Testament. Those Jews, they all knew Old Testament. He said, think about it. He asked him, give this thought. Why should it be thought a thing incredible with you that God should raise the dead? So he says, Agrippa, think about it. Is it incredible that God can raise the dead? Considering the things that happened in the Old Law, on the Old Testament. Remember, he parted the Red Sea. Remember, he stopped the sun in midair. He made a donkey talk. He got Daniel out of lion's den. He delivered Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We can go on and on with stories of God's incredible power. And so he's saying, you think with all that God's done, all you know that God has done through the writing of the scripture, of the Old Law, Old Testament, is it incredible, something strange that God can raise the dead? Then he says this. Now remember, he's speaking for himself. He's answering for himself. I've really thought with myself, there it is again, that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus Christ. See, sometimes, even with Paul, he's thinking to himself, how many things he had done wrong that was contrary to what Jesus said. Think to yourself, how much wrong have you done? That you can speak for yourself and admit. See, you and God know. When you think to yourself, Paul's thoughts were, I don't remember those things I done. Remember, he was persecuting Christians, killing them. He was a blasphemer, and he remember all this was contrary to what God would have him to do. So he knew the truth about himself, and he also know God know the truth, but he's confessing and admitting his truth. The facts about who he was and where he went wrong to King Agrippa. You know, it's important that we confess our faults. It's important that we admit when we do wrong. When you wrong someone, you got to come up and admit it. The important thing is that you can be wrong about a lot of things, but being able to confess it and admit it is what God requires. That's why confession is so important. Not that God don't know what you're doing, like people. God already knows. So what he wants us to do is confess our fault. So he's telling King Agrippa where he made his mistake. Listen to this. He said, which thing I also did in Jerusalem, and many of the saints did I shut up in prison. So he's confessing all his fault. Having received authority from chief priests, when they were put to death, I gave my voice against them. He said, I went along with that was wrong, putting the Christians to death, and I gave my voice. He's openly confessing his fault. And I punished them off in every synagogue and compelled them to blaspheme. And being exceedingly mad, against them. I persecuted them even unto strange cities. Here's another point of consideration. You're wrong, you're wrong, you're wrong. And getting angry can cause you to do even more harm. And so Paul is saying this, punish them, compel them blessing, and then being exceedingly mad against them. Persecuted. He went far and beyond because he got mad and angry. How many times you got angry and done something you didn't mean? Said something you didn't mean? Or took an action you didn't mean? And you look back on it. And the old saying is, if I could just turn back the hands of time, I'm sure Paul would be like that right here. Now that he knows Jesus, if he could go back and do it all over again, he would do it differently. If they could undo the wrong, he would make it right. See, here's the thing about life. We can't undo nothing in our past. You can't go back and get it right. You can't go back and correct it. The only answer, listen carefully, to our past is forgiveness. That's the only answer. There's no future. You can't live in tomorrow. You can't live in the past. You have to live in the now time. Right now, Paul is at a state where he's at right there at that moment there. He knows he's standing before people who knew about his past. And he's making it known to this king that all that is true. All this is true, that I've done all these things. Can you see where you are in your life? Think about all the things you've done wrong. If you had to start listening, making a list, the things that were contrary to what God would have you to do, how long would that list be? Could you make that list? You say, brother, why is that important? Because you got the answer for yourself. You got the answer for yourself. And so when we answer, when we confess that we believe Jesus Christ, Son of God, we're baptized, God remembers none of that, but you will. And on the day of judgment, remember this. The Bible says, Ecclesiastes 12:13, Solomon said, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. We are to fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Watch this now. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing. See, everything that's secret is coming up on judgment. What they got to do with the lesson? Again, you got to answer for yourself. So God gave us a way to clear up our path. He gave us that path forward with forgiveness and complete forgiveness. But for us, we must be like Paul and recognize when you messed up, when you sinned against God, the life you live, how you wrong people or you hurt people. We ought to remember. That's going to be remembered by those you hurt. And you want to get forgiveness from them. And the way you get forgiveness is admit you're wrong. Paul is admitting, watch this, verse 12. Whereupon, as I went to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priest. Now, Paul is admitting that many things went wrong against the Lord. He did many things wrong against the Lord and the Lord's church. Now, how many of you can admit you've done wrong? Can you admit you're wrong? You have to be able to admit you're wrong while you're living before you answer to God. Now's the time to get it right with God. Paul says, here's how it happened to him. He started telling the gripper, here's how he started making changes. Here's when he made his changes. Watch this now. At midday, O king, he's answering to the king for himself. I saw in a vision, in the way, a light from heaven, above the brightness of the sun, shining round about me, and then was journeying with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me, saying in Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the prick. And I said, who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus whom thou persecuted. But rise and stand up on thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for the purpose, this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness, both of the things which thou hast seen, and those things which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people, and from the Gentile, unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes, and turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sin, and inheritance among them, which are sanctified by faith that is in me. He said, whereupon, O Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. See, before you answer before God, when you answer for yourself, before you can get it right, Paul had to see the light, verse 13. He had to hear the Lord speaking to him. And before we can get it right, we got to see the light of the truth from the scripture. And we have to hear the Lord speaking to us from the scripture. And we must turn by being obedient from darkness to light. That's how you prepare to answer before God. And all this adds up to obedience, starting with baptism and being living faithful unto death. Make sure you have a story of change. That's the important thing here. Not only could he admit his past, which is important that he's doing, it's important for all of us to know the past. It's also important to admit your wrong and make the confession and make the repentance. And here it is. You have a story of change. How many of you got a story of change? You can look back on your life and you can tell the story just like Paul told this story. All of us got a story. I got a story. You got a story. We'll have a story, a book that's being written by us, our life. And in that book, those books, in that book, there will be a story of going from darkness to light. If you're going to be saved, make sure you have a story that says you have developed an obedient relationship to God, or you will lose your soul. And remember, the thrust of the lesson is this. You have to answer for yourself to God. Make sure you can say, I was not disobedient to your son. So what does that mean, Brother Bruce? We got what we call the doctrine of Christ, which is the teaching of the New Testament. The teaching of the New Testament teaches us what we must do to have this life change. Things happen. Paul got hit hard. He got hit hard. Life will hit us hard. Death will come. But all things work together for good. So you think like death and travails and trauma and difficult times causes us to have a story of change. Many of you probably can say, I know I can, that it was after a travail or a very painful event that I started looking at my life and trying to get my life right with God. Do you have a life-changing experience that you could tell if you had to answer for yourself today? What was that life-changing experience for you? Or are you at a point right now where there's something going on very difficult in your life? You're dealing with something. Maybe you're grieving. Or maybe you're depressed. Or maybe you're sick with the COVID. Or maybe you're going through some very difficult times financially. Maybe the pandemic has taken you places you didn't know you were going. Maybe you're a caretaker and you're struggling, trying to help the one you love, and you find yourself spiraling down. Or maybe you're in a relationship that's going sour, a marriage that's going bad, and now you're at a point where you need the Lord. You're at a point that you got something going on in your life that's really wearing on you. You know, those are the times when we start thinking about our lives. Those are the times when we start thinking about how to get our lives right with God. So all of us that are Christians currently should have some life-changing experience. Something that says, here's why I made my changes. Well, here's why I went to the Lord. Here's what caused me to do it. When you heard the gospel story of the suffering of Savior, and you seen you heard the promises God made to you that you could be forgiven, and this thing weighing on your heart or weighing on your mind, and all because you were going through these difficult times, you went to the Lord, and now, like Paul, you got a life-changing experience. But remember this now. Just because you made change doesn't mean you won't have no more problems in life. Look what Paul's up against. They're trying to kill him. They're falsely accusing him. They're trying to get his head cut off. Later on, he'll die. Now, here's where we are. If you're on the call and you haven't made that change, you're going to answer that. You have to answer for yourself why you didn't make the change. Why you didn't make the change when God has given you opportunity after opportunity after opportunity. Now, at the end of the lesson, I'll tell you what to do to be saved so that your sins can be forgiven and that change can be today. That change can be right now. As soon as you obey God, everything in your past has changed, and you have God to help you in your future. Let's go back to verse 20. But show first unto them of Damascus and Jerusalem and throughout all the coast of Judea, and then to the Gentiles, they should repent and turn to God. He said, Agrippa, I was not disobedient. But show first unto them of the Damascus and Jerusalem throughout all Judea, Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God. So immediately upon his conversion, he started helping others make change. After your life-changing experience, and then you put on Christ in baptism, it's then you can help others. It's then you can help others work and make their change. And come to repentance. He was telling them. He started after what happened on the road to Damascus. I started helping everybody else make their change. See, brothers, this is after a life changing experience. You should be able to tell others why they should repent and turn to the Lord. After your life changing experience, and after your baptism, you should be living a different life. Why is that important? Because you're going to answer your life. You got to answer to God about your life. That's what this whole lesson is about. At the end of the day, you got to answer to God. So now you can answer for yourself. The good thing is, you know, I think a blessing to us is that we can all have our own knowledge of ourselves. We know ourselves. We know our own mind. And it's within our mind that we can assimilate truth and error. And we know the truth. We know the truth about ourselves. We know the truth about anything that we've done. And here it is. When you got that difference and you know the change took place, then you'll be able to answer to God. He won't be asking you about your past. He's going to be saying, well done. Because he won't bring up your past. He won't do that. And that's why it's important for you to take this life-changing experience and obey God and then live for him. Can you say you're different now? You're on the call, you've been baptized, you're a member of the Church of Christ. Can you say you're really different from since the day you got baptized? Have you made change? How do you look in the eye of God? What does he see? What are you thinking? What does he see in your life? What will you have to answer for if you didn't get forgiveness? Every secret thing coming up on judgment. Everything's coming up. Whatever you didn't get right. When he tells you what you done wrong, that means you lost. That means it's coming up because you wasn't forgiven. But you can be forgiven, as I've said over and over on this call. Now, verse number 21. Listen to Paul as he speaks for himself. He said, but these causes, the Jews, caught me in the temple. And he said, what cause? Because I was trying to help people come to repentance. He just said in verse 20. So that's why I was in the temple. But now they want to kill me. Having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day, witnessing both the small and great, saying none other things than those which the prophet and Moses did say should come. That Christ should suffer, and that he should be first, the first that should be raised from the dead, rise from the dead, and should show light unto the people and to the Gentiles. He said, here's why they want to kill me. You want to sum it up? Because I had to make change. Because I was doing all these things wrong. I heard the Lord. I saw the light. And I started going into the temple trying to help everybody else. And the reason I'm still here today is because the Lord, I obtained help of God. See that? This is why I'm still doing it. I'm going to continue to witness to small and great people who will listen. Paul is saying, I'm going to keep teaching them things. Those which the prophets and Moses did say should come. I'm going to teach them that Christ suffered and that he rose from the dead. And I'm going to show light unto the people and the Gentiles. See, after your life-changing experience, you ought to be able to describe how you helped others and your whole purpose in telling them about Jesus. No matter what comes, he saw this. He said, now, they trying to kill me, but here's why. I was in the temple, yes, but my intent was good. My motive was good. My intent was there to save souls. So how do you keep your conscience clear? When you know your intent was right. When your intent is right, he's doing everything he knows that God would please God. Even though they didn't like him and they wanted to kill him, he was okay because here's why they want to kill me. Here's my intention was right. If you know your intentions are right, you continue to do what God tells you to do, and continue to help other people because your intentions is to save souls. Verse 24, and as he thus spake for himself, and he's still talking, watch this, Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, thou beside thyself, much learning doth make thee mad. But he said, I'm not mad. Most noble Felix, out of all respect, I speak forth the words of truth and soberness. See how the judgment came upon him based on what he said? But he said, no, not mad. I'm just telling the truth. And I'm sober. I mean, I'm doing it with a good state of mind. For the king know it, talking about Agrippa, of these things, before whom I also speak freely. So I'm standing before Agrippa. I'm not holding anything back. For I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him. But this was not done in a corner. Can you speak for yourself? Can you answer for yourself the words of truth and soberness? Truth and with a clear mind. Truth with soberness. Is what he was able to say. You mad? No, I'm not mad. I'm speaking truth with soberness. So remember, he got mad before, and it led to him doing wrong. So they're thinking, they're trying to say he's mad again. No, I'm not mad. That wasn't Paul's situation. Paul was simply telling the truth. And the king, he says, know of these things that I'm talking about freely. Do you realize that your life before God is not done in a corner? God know your life. See, that's what Paul said. It's not done in a corner. This is not something I've done trying to hide it. It wasn't done in a corner. But God, and there's nothing in a corner when it comes to God. It's not going to be done in a corner. You'll speak for yourself. You got to answer for yourself. And the Bible says in Hebrews 4:13, when it tells in Hebrews 4:13 that everything naked before God. In other words, listen to the Bible. Neither there any creature that is not manifest, that's made known, in his sight. For all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him whom we have to do. So there's nothing in the corner. Nothing we can get away with when we answer to God. Can't you see why it's so important to get forgiveness? Because God knows already everything you've done wrong. It was not done in the corner. So he goes back and starts talking to Agrippa again after Festus interrupted him. King Agrippa, he asked him, believest thou the prophet? But he said, do you believe the Bible, King Agrippa? And then Paul said, I know you believe. I know that thou believest. So Paul knew. He must have knew something about King Agrippa. He said, I know you believe. Then Agrippa said to Paul, man, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. So he admitted that he was a believer. He said, Paul, you almost persuaded me to be a Christian. How did he do that? Let's recap. How did he almost, this man, when he stood for him? He stood for him, recapping mistakes. He admitted his faults. Yeah, so you can help people by telling them your past. He told them about his experience. He told them about his change, how he saw the light, how he obeyed God, how he was obedient. And he told them why, again, his obedience led him to continue to do the things that he had to do to help the people. And King Agrippa was obviously listening. He said, man, you made me want to be a Christian. Person, if you were to answer for yourself before this audience, would your story be so convincing that somebody could say, almost thou persuaded me to be a Christian, would say to you that? Could you, if you speak for yourself, if you answer for yourself to someone else, maybe listen, if I just gave you a chance to come on the call and you told us your story, would your story be so convincing that you'd be kind of like King Agrippa, that you know your story would almost persuade people to become a Christian? Well, here's what Paul, that's not what his goal was. Look at what his goal was in verse 29. Paul said, I would to God that not only thou, but also all that hear me this day. See, Paul, when he was speaking, he was hoping everybody who heard him were both almost and altogether such as I am, except the bond. I don't want you in prison. He said, Agrippa, not only you, but anybody who hear me speak this day, you and them both be almost and all together, in other words, not just be persuaded, but truly become a Christian like he was. And that should be our desire. And that's my desire on the call this morning. Many are listening. My prayer is that you're listening. My hope is that you'll obey and become a Christian. Because you got a life. You got a story, and you got an experience. So here he is. Paul has stood before Agrippa. He's told his past. He's told his changes. And he's trying to convince them to become Christian. Try my best this morning to convince someone to become a Christian. I'm trying to convince those who are Christians to live a better life. Why? One day, we all got the answer for ourselves. The Bible says, 2 Corinthians 5:10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that he had done, whether it be good or bad. So it's going to happen. Can't get around it. You're going to have to answer for yourself. Verse number 30, when he had thus spoken, the king rose up and the governor and Bernice, and they sat with them. And when they were gone aside, they talked between themselves, saying, "This man done nothing wrong of death, worthy of death on the bond." So the king got up, the governor, said, "Man, this man haven't done anything wrong to be put to death." So then Agrippa says to Festus, "This man might have been set at liberty, should have been free, if he had not appealed to Caesar." See, when you answer for yourself, I got a question. Will the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost see you as guilty and worthy of eternal death and damnation? If you were answering for yourself, right now. See, the king and the governor all came together and examined the case. The Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, examine your case. Examine your life. Would they say, "Well done," or "Depart"? Would they extend to you eternal life with them, to meaning being saved, or eternal damnation, where you be lost? And so this group of people who heard Paul's case said, "No, he's not guilty. He should be set free." I don't know about you, but kind of like forgiveness is like a bird in a cage. It feels good to be forgiven, really. Have you ever thought about that? You remember when you got baptized? And you got baptized and you had all this guilt stuff going on in your head. And you responded and you got baptized. And boy, it felt like a ton of bricks was lifted off your shoulders. You want to know what that was? That was a clear conscience and forgiveness. Forgiveness is kind of like if you put a bird in a cage and you keep them locked up in there, there's no liberty. There's no freedom to fly away. Who on this call got you a bird in a cage? Who on the call got someone who needs you to forgive? What you got to do? Open the cage. Take the door of the cage. Open it up. And let the person fly out. And I'm free. Superb. That's hard to do. God does it for you every time you ask Him. Every time that you repent, God free you from that cage of sin. Sin imprisons you. And God stands at your door and knocks. And if Jesus, I stand there and knock. If you open, I come. I want to free you. So when you speak for yourself, when you answer to God, well, God, the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost say, "Well done. We freed you." Then God expects us to do that for others. Brother Brooks, you see my husband, my wife, my friend, my church member, my girlfriend, my boyfriend, my family member, my brother, sister, uncle, did me wrong. Okay. They did. What do you owe them? Forgiveness. Owe no man anything but love. Love influences us to forgive. Love influences us to move and let love work. Love work at no ill. It does no wrong. Love covers a multitude of sin. Love is something that will work to get you through difficult times. It suffered long. Love is kind. It don't envy. It don't vaunt itself. Love is not puffed up. It does not behave unseemly. It does not provoke evil. Love don't rejoice when someone is hurt. It don't allow you to be happy about it, to be rejoicing. Love beareth all things. Love gives us hope. It allows us to endure. It never fails. It never fails. And I'm talking about love. God is love. You know, all the things I just listed are found in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. God is love. When love is in the heart, you'll be able to do these things. Why? That's the way of God. And so, forgiveness is one of those spiritual blessings that come to us because we are children of God. And what a great feeling it is to know you can be forgiven by God. Yeah, so we want all spiritual blessings. That we can have blood of Jesus, a spiritual blessing. Being baptized is a spiritual blessing. Being able to pray to God is a spiritual blessing. We've got these spiritual blessings working in our favor. Forgiveness is in that list. Spiritual blessings. So, as I close the lesson today, I hope I tapped into your mind about your life and trying to prepare you not the answer to me, but the final answer for yourself will be to God. Remember this, that God is the expert on your life. God knows everything, so your life is not lived in a corner. Therefore, you must be honest. You must be able to admit you're wrong. And know this, others could testify against you. But this is just a trial run. Right now I'm doing it. But one day, you'll answer all this before God. So the members of the church, when you stand before God, when you answer for yourself, what you going to say to them about your life you're living? Or your weekly confession or repentance, about your study habits, about your giving, about your role in the church, about your commitment to Christ and the work of the church. How about your attitude and love toward your friends, family, loved ones? Do you love your neighbor as yourself? How about your anger? How about your temper? What would that get you? What would being mad get you? What would you say to them about how dependable you are as a member of the Lord's church? Or how faithful you would be in going to the building? What would you answer about? Have you forsaken the assembly? Would that be on that list of things? How about the vow you made after becoming a Christian? Have you lived up to it? What's going to be your answer about that? That's the member of the church. Parents, how about us as parents? I mean, what are we going to say to them about our parenting? About maybe your father is still drinking and partying, or a mother is still doing the same thing, or maybe you're entering into a divorce and all the children, everybody's going to get hurt. And it's not scriptural, no scriptural grounds. What are you going to say about the way you lived before your children, the fussing and fighting? You answer about that. What about why is your family dysfunctional? What caused it? What part did you play? Did you take your children to worship? Did you teach them about the Bible? Did you put more emphasis on secular education than you did God's word for your children? Are they on the call this morning? Do you influence them in your house to be part of this worship and to participate in the singing? What do you do? What are you going to answer about that? About how do you raise your children? What are you going to say about your negligence to your children? Why you neglected to put their souls first? So, as church leaders, what are we going to say? You know, when we don't carry the ball like we should, or what are we going to see? What are we going to how we're going to answer by losing focus and not stepping up and doing what we know we need to do when there's a work at the church that needs to be done. We're going to say to them about our accountability to the church as leaders, preachers, those men who are serving with us, teachers. What are you going to answer to them about being a qualified man of God to be an elder, but you didn't do it? How are you going to answer that? About being qualified to be a deacon, but you know didn't step it up. About not working on your life to make sure you became the husband of one wife and you stayed with that woman, you lived right, you raised your children up so you qualified to be an elder. How you going to answer that? How you going to answer when you knew there was help needed, but you didn't extend a hand to help? Talking leadership to our youth, to the young people who are listening to me, you're going to speak for yourself about. What you going to say about your obedience to your parents? Were you an obedient child? What about your attitudes? How do you talk to your mother? Are you obedient? Do you talk back? Or what are you doing? Are you talking back to your parents? Are you disrespectful to your father or your mother? Or are you going to tell them about what you're doing in the back room, the songs that you listen to or watch on TV or listen to on your phone? What about what your friends you select? How you gonna ask about the friends you had and what y'all did that your mom and dad don't know about? What are you gonna say about your conversations on your cell phone with your friends? How you gonna answer your thoughts about right now? Maybe you may be even upset right now that you don't even want to be on this call. You really don't want to be doing what your mom and dad got you doing, sitting there listening to me talk. But you have to answer about that. How you gonna answer? You're going to speak for yourself. Mama can't speak for you. How about a young lady or a young boy? How you going to speak about your virginity? Have you maintained the abstinence? You know, are you going to be able to say you did or you didn't? What about the things you've done, stealing, smoking weed, or sleeping, drinking, or whatever you were doing? What about those things? And then to our visitors. How are you going to answer to God after hearing a sermon like this that you didn't know? How are you going to answer when you rejected the truth? You decided not to be baptized. And maybe you've been on the car here. I've been saying this over and over, you heard it over and over and over. How are you going to answer? When you stand before God, what is going to be your answer? About not being baptized, not believing in the one church that's in the Bible. What are you going to answer about praying a sinner's prayer, doing something man told you to do versus what God told you to do? How are you going to answer that? Being in a church you can't even read about in your Bible, or calling a man reverend or father, or maybe taking the Lord's Supper once a month when the Bible teachers, they taught it every, they took it every Sunday. You're not doing that. And when Jesus said, this you do in remembrance of me. So my question is, to all of us, from the young people to the old people, senior, young to old, how are you? You should lead this call this morning to men. I know how I would answer right now, and I wouldn't like the answer. God wouldn't like the answer, but then you can do something about it. That's the good thing about living still, is that God has given you a chance. To be prepared to stand before him and say, I've done, just like Paul, I had these experiences and I made change and I have not been disobedient. That's what he was able to say. If you're on call this morning, maybe you should be saying, Lord, I want to be a Christian. I just want to be a Christian. Paul said, that's what he told the crowd. I want everybody listening to me just like me. I want to be a Christian. I want you to be a Christian. I'm thankful I'm a Christian. That's the only hope we have. Be a Christian. How do you become a Christian? Well, number one, you have to, the Bible says you have to hear the gospel. Jesus said in Mark 16:15-16, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. See, so he said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Peter in Acts 15:7 said, you have to hear the word of the gospel and believe. Well, what is the gospel that you got to hear? It's the truth that God loved you. John 3:16. He so loved you. and like no one else would, that he gave his only son. That son so loved you that in the last 24 hours of his life, he suffered. He was brutally beaten. He was falsely accused. He was lied on. He was spit on. He was mocked. He was whipped. Put a crown of thorns on his head. Put a tree on his back. Nailed him to that tree. Hung him between the two thieves. He was suffering. What is all that equal, Brother Brooks? Love. You know what I told you about love? Love is why God did it. Because he loved your soul. What do you love about you? Your soul. What should we love about each other? Your soul. He loved your soul. Jesus loved your soul. He said, greater love had no man than this. They laid down his life for his friend. He died on that cross so you could be saved. So you got to hear it. Now, after you've heard what I just said, do you believe it that he did all of that? He said, well, Brother Brooks, I don't know if I even believe in Jesus. Well, if you don't believe in Jesus, I can help you. But if you believe in the Bible, then you'll believe there's Jesus, and you believe Jesus shed his blood, and that blood, according to Revelation 1 and 5, will wash your sins away. So Jesus gave the command. What you got to do is believe and be baptized. And when you're baptized, then the Lord adds you to the one church. Which church is it, Brother Brooks? The same one. Tell us about the one Jesus. Romans 16:16, salute one another, holy kiss. The churches of Christ salute you. The only church in the Bible is the church of Christ. Now Acts 2:4-7 tell us the same thing in the church. So you got to hear all of the Bible and believe it. You hear, you believe that Jesus Christ, Son of God. Number three, you got to change your mind. You got to do like Paul. You got to make this repentance. I got to change. It's time for change. And then after that, you must be willing to make a confession saying, I believe in Jesus Christ, Son of God. And then upon that confession, you're a candidate for baptism. And then we baptize you in water. You're buried with him. Acts 2:38, Romans 6:3 and following verses. You're buried with Christ in baptism. And Acts 2:38 tells us baptism before the remission. And that remission means forgiveness. So that's the forgiveness of sin. It all happens in baptism. And then at that point, everything in your past, God don't have a memory of it, because it's been covered by the blood of Jesus. As long as you live right and you stay in the light, 1 John 1:5-7, that blood continues to cleanse you and keep you good with God. And then after you're baptized, and the Lord adds you to the church, you live faithful. That's how you become a Christian. And I hope this morning you want to be a Christian. That's what I just said. So that's why I was talking to the visitors on the call. You got to answer it. You got to answer God why you didn't sin. Hit 5 stars and say, I want to be baptized, Brother Brooks. You got to answer. Why did you hear this truth and reject it? You got to answer. You have to answer for yourself.